again, Chris Dearth. I have had a number of conversations with the Calcanos and their representative over the last week or two. They, I think, understand and agree with my recommendation to, unfortunately, deny their claim, but they wanted to be present to give an explanation, and they were not able to be here today, so we have postponed this until September 11th. So with your permission, I would just ask that you put this over to the next date.
Unless there are objections, this item is no.
No objections. I would just announce the date and time of the postponed hearing.
What do we have on the 11th, Carla?
Yes, that is September 11th at 2 p.m. time certain.
So this item is continued until the time mentioned by Carla, unless there's objection by counsel.
Chris, thanks for doing a great job on this.
Thank you. Yeah, good work. All right, I think that gets us to the time certain at 3 o'clock. We're just 6 minutes behind. Carla, will you read the title for 1191?
Appeal of Lamont Smith, TMT Development applicant, against the Historic Landmarks Commission's decision to impose certain conditions in approving the Cornelius Hotel rehabilitation at 809 Southwest Alder, LU08108274. HDZM.
Good afternoon. Who is going to begin?
Commissioner Adams, I need to do the opening announcements.
Okay.
So I will give you, have a 2-minute
Catherine
pause.
Catherine will begin.
Before we begin the hearing today, I am required to make several announcements concerning the type of hearing, the order of testimony, and guidelines for presenting testimony. This is an on-the-record hearing. This means you must limit testimony to material and issues in the record. This hearing is designed only to decide if the Landmarks Commission made the correct decision based on the evidence that was presented to it. If you start to talk about new issues or try to present new evidence today, you may be interrupted and reminded that you must limit your testimony to the record. The order of testimony is as follows. We'll begin with a staff report by the Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant, who is the applicant in this case, will go first and will have 10 minutes to present the appellant's case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes. If there is any principal opponent, that principal opponent will have 15 minutes to speak to the council, and after the principal opponent, the council will hear from any persons who oppose the appeal, and again, each person will have 3 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut any presentation by opponents of the appeal. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. And if the council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter before the council. Finally, just a few brief guidelines for those who will be addressing City Council today. Again, this is an on-the-record hearing. This means you must limit your remarks to arguments based on the record compiled by the Landmarks Commission. You may refer to evidence that was previously submitted to the commission. You may not submit new evidence today that was not submitted to the commission. If your argument includes new evidence or issues, the council will not consider it, and it will be rejected in the City Council's final decision. If you believe that a person who addressed City Council today improperly presented new evidence or presented a legal argument that relies on evidence that's not in the record, you may object to that argument. Finally, under state law, only issues that were raised before the Landmarks Commission may be raised in this appeal to City Council. Again, if you believe someone has raised issues today that weren't raised before the commission, you may object to the council's consideration of that issue. And that concludes what I have to say.
Thank you. Do I have to ask for ex parte con? Does any member of council seek to declare any ex parte contacts or any conflicts that would prevent them from acting on judging this matter?
No.
Hearing none, are we ready to proceed then? Jeff, are you going to start or?
Jeff Joslin, Bureau of Development Services. No, Dave Skilton will begin.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Dave Skilton, Bureau of Development Services. I have a PowerPoint presentation here for you. This is an aerial photograph showing the site of the Cornelius Hotel, which is the subject of the appeal. It's at the corner of Southwest Alder and Park Streets. This is photographs of the building as it looked in 1908 when it was completed, and today is shown with the red arrow. The zoning for the property is CXD, which is Central Commercial with Design Overlay. This is the most intensive commercial zone in the city. The approval criteria which the Landmarks Commission used are listed here. The key ones in this case are Chapter 33-846-060-G.
Thank you very much.
This is a summary of the proposal as approved by the Landmarks Commission, with the exception of the item in red at the end, window replacement on the upper six floors, floors 2-7. The applicant's proposal found that 18% of the windows, the historic wooden windows, were deteriorated beyond repair. 63% of these windows were in need of significant repair, and they couldn't find a vendor that would guarantee an operable wood replacement magnum window for the large windows on the south elevation of the property. A magnum window is one that has a sash dimension greater than 6 feet. So the applicant's proposal for the windows was to replace 100% of the windows on floors 2-7 with a closely matching aluminum window system. The Landmarks Commission decision was to approve, but with two conditions. The conditions were that the historic windows on 2-7 that the applicant's own assessment report found to be deteriorated beyond repair could be replaced in kind, and that all other historic wooden windows on floors 2-7 must be retained and repaired. The crux of the issue is approval criterion 33.846.060G4. I'm going to read it. Historic features. Generally, deteriorated historic features will be repaired rather than replaced. Where the severity of deterioration requires replacement, the new feature will match the old in design, color, texture, and other visual qualities, and where practical, in materials. The Historic Landmarks Commission's finding was that the severity of deterioration did not require replacement of all the windows. And so it allowed in-kind replacement where the applicant's study determined the windows to be deteriorated beyond repair. City Council options are to deny the appeal and uphold the Historic Landmarks Commission, sustain the appeal by modifying the Historic Landmarks Commission decision as requested by the appellant, or to overturn the Historic Landmarks Commission decision. And that's the end of my presentation. I'll take any questions if you have them.
Questions from the council for staff?
So just so that I understand the code, I wonder, can you go back to the part that described design, color, texture, and other visual qualities?
So you want the approval criterion? Is that
the second? I was writing it down, and I think that's right. Generally, deteriorated historic features will be repaired rather than replaced.
Yeah.
The severity of the deterioration requires replacement. The new feature will match the old in design, color, texture, and other visual qualities, and were practical in material. So that actually answers my question, the last part. It doesn't have to be replaced with exactly the same thing, but just something that matches it in design, color, texture, and other visual qualities.
Correct.
I just wanted to clarify something. The owners of a property on the historic register receive property tax freezes and also are eligible for lower interest interest loans to help cover the costs of maintaining and renovating. Is that correct?
They're not automatically enrolled in the tax incentives. They have to actually apply for them.
They're eligible for certain.
They're eligible,
tax
and I believe this property participates in several.
Okay, thank you.
I do have some additional testimony.
I'm sorry, I was to give the segue to Jeff.
And what's your name?
Jeff Bureau of Development Services.
Thank you.
And I'm simply going to read a letter already provided to you written by the chair of the Landmarks Commission, which could be loosely paraphrased, "Why Windows Matter." So I'll just proceed forward. City Councilman, on behalf of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission, I'd like to explain to you the reasons our decision to prohibit the removal of original historic windows and replacement with aluminum replicas on the Cornelius Hotel. One, conformance with criteria. Our review criteria clearly calls for retention of original historic fabric. Character-defining fabric that is intact and reparable must be repaired rather than demolished and replaced. This is one of the most basic tenets of historic preservation and historic design review. 80% of the exterior original windows of the Cornelius are repairable. That good fortune makes it imperative that they be retained and refurbished. Two, primacy of windows. Exterior windows are one of the most significant elements of historic fabric. Portland has a long-standing history of protecting original windows. This has been our precedent. Evident that this issue has surfaced countless times before and now includes the Nines Hotel, otherwise known as Meyer and Frank, Hotel, Vintage Plaza, and Multnomah Hotel, all of which preserved and refurbished the original windows and added interior storm windows. Even the City of Portland has seen fit to respect this standard. The renovation of City Hall included retention and repair of the original windows on the north side. Windows on the other sides were irreparable and therefore replaced with wood duplicates to match the refurbished originals. And about 120 original windows on PDC's headquarters were repaired and reinstalled as part of its renovation. Resistance by some developers and or architects to the above tenets is not uncommon. Common reasons include, one, replacement is more sustainable. Actually, there is substantial evidence that the energy savings of insulated windows is only marginally better than historic single-pane windows. Additionally, nothing is greener than reuse, especially of renewable material that has nearly a century of embodied energy. Finally, repairs are typically performed by local artisans rather than out-of-town factories, also a green concept. Two, historic windows are not acoustically ideal. Interior storm windows resolve this matter as well as remediation for minor energy inefficiency while retaining original fabric and preserving historic facades. Three, repair is more expensive and time-consuming than replacement. That's usually true, but this is common in almost all aspects of historic renovation. Renovation is rarely, if ever, more cost-effective than new construction. However, this fact is offset by subsidy programs put in place specifically to balance these cost premiums, including historic tax credits and special assessment, not to mention the general social and marketing benefit that goes with retention of a significant historic landmark. The recommendation of the Landmarks Commission is for this applicant to repair all of the reparable windows, which includes, at a minimum, the east-facing windows and to add interior storm windows, as so many of its historic lodging competitors have done. The windows on the south side can be either repaired if possible or replaced with wood replicas if they are not. They could be insulated if desired. Replacements would not likely be operable due to their size, while that may be a preference, it could not be required by code. We strongly request that the City Council choose to uphold the decision of the Landmarks Commission in this matter. I fear that to overturn it would undermine the standard that has been in place and observed for as long as I can remember. The case of the Cornelius Hotel is not exceptional. And then finally, an additional note, I would say somewhat outside the realm of the Landmarks Commission's specific findings, again from Art DeMuro, the chair of the commission. As a private developer who specializes in commercial historic renovations, I sympathize with the request of the applicant. The bottom line is that it's easier, cheaper, and faster to replace the historic windows than to repair them. However, that's not been the standard in this community, a standard that has served our historic preservation ethic well and been commonly observed by others before. And finally, we wish to express our sincere gratitude to the applicants for their commitment to the renovation of this treasured landmark.
So there are some that would sort of contemplate a disagreement over windows that in many cases will be high off the ground, a disagreement over whether they be paintable aluminum or paintable wood, and say that this is just a overreach on the city's part. And the information that you've given us speaks to some of that, but In your own words, if this is allowed, I'd like you to give you an opportunity to respond to substantively, not the fact that this is the way we've always done it, but substantively, why is this important?
I think the commissioners, Commissioner DeMuro has spoken to that somewhat. And it is a regular topic in both the preservation community more broadly as well as locally and among our staff as we grapple with this on projects of a variety of scales throughout the city. There are a couple aspects. I mean, one is appearance, and that's where some of your comments go to. The other is just the nature of historic integrity and the value of that. Whether a replication is as good as the original, particularly and more challengingly so, you know, what is a replication? Is it a replication in appearance, or does it go beyond skin deep? And that's where, you know, it gets a little more delicate. In the case of a residential structure in one of our National Register historic districts, say Ladd's Addition or Lair Hill, clearly in those cases, the quality of some of these finer scale materials are sort of fundamental and intrinsic to the historic quality. It's a little bit of an easier call in those cases. In this case, I'll tell you that the replication in this aluminum material that they were able to come up with and present to us in mid-process as a physical alternative, the sections through those materials are indecipherable. In other words, the shape of the window itself is absolutely just as close as it could be without being of the wood material itself. So I think there was clearly, you know, an impressive, genuine effort on their part to find a manufacturer that would do the best job achievable in that other alternative material, in hopes that that would convince the Landmarks Commission. But again, in their estimation, like the finer scale example I used, for buildings like this, they believe that replicating the original, not just in appearance, but in the material itself, matters and is fundamental to the qualities that the historic designation is intended to preserve.
Does I guess another obvious question is, does our decision today, either in legal terms or in practical terms, change a precedent, set a precedent, or create uncertainty for the future?
Well, it would frankly depend on whether the Landmarks Commission wishes to take this as a specific message about these kinds of requests in general and apply it in the future or not.
From a legal point of view?
Your decision today is based on the facts presented to you in this case, so your decision today is technically fact-specific. That won't prevent someone in the future who's aware of whatever your ruling might be, if you were to disagree with the Landmarks Commission, from arguing that as precedent to the Commission. But technically, each land use case is decided on its own facts and whether those facts show the criteria are satisfied.
Mayor-elect, I am no longer a practicing lawyer, and I've surrendered my license.
But really?
You
did, really?
Well, by code, I'm not – no, I put it on suspense, but I'm not allowed to practice law. So the but if I were a lawyer in the future, I would take the historic feature section of the code, which refers to generally blah, 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 and later on where practical. And since those are words that are intended to be interpreted, I take each of these decisions as a guidepost for where are the exceptions to generally or under what circumstances you'd say it's not practicable.
I guess I have to ask from a lay point of view, if, and I'm assuming that the appealant, and I want to hear obviously what they're going to say, but I would imagine that they're going to say the reason we're willing to go to the expense and effort of designing a product that replicates the wood that is not wood is because of some intrinsic quality in the reproduced product that the wood product does not have. And assuming that that's the case, and assuming then I have no reason to doubt that what you're saying is accurate, that for all intents and purposes, standing back looking at it, it looks like the same thing. Why wouldn't, I mean, to take another point of view, it almost sounds like we're enforcing a rule for the rule's sake by not allowing them to do something that appears to be just as good, but then arguably gives them some intrinsic value that the wood product doesn't. Why wouldn't, and with all due respect to Art's letter, I mean, he had to do it, other people had to do it, so they should have to do it, seemed to be the message, and why wouldn't we allow somebody to have a higher quality product that mirrored in every tangible way what the original product possessed, but still gave them this whatever that intrinsic value is that replicated product was.
Can I speak to that?
Sure, please do.
I think that the Landmarks Commission was looking very narrowly at the regulation.
And I apologize, I'm supposed to make you say your name again.
Okay, Dave Skilton, Bureau of Development Services. I think that the Landmarks Commission was looking at the regulation rather narrowly and found that the windows were reparable. In other words, the whether or not you can replace the windows is hinged on the fact of whether or not they can be repaired. And their determination was that the windows could be repaired. And where the windows had been found to be irreparable, they allowed the windows to be replaced in kind. So I think that's...
I'm assuming that when you characterize that decision as them looking at it rather narrowly, that were they to look at it a different way, that is broader, they would have the latitude potentially to allow this other material to be used as long as it replicated in appearance. And
I think the regulation allows that, yes.
Thank you.
All right, we probably should hear from the appellant, but any final questions for staff?
I may have a question in the back end.
Great. Thanks for your presentation. Representatives for the appellant, please come forward. Welcome to City Council. Please state your name, who you're representing, if you're lobbying on someone's behalf, and how much time do they have?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
You have 10 minutes.
Lamont D. Smith, TMT Development. I'd like to begin Mayor-elect Adams, Commissioner Leonard, and Commissioner Fish by thanking you for an opportunity to present our project. And I'd like to especially thank at this time the Landmarks Commission and its staff, along with the Portland Development Commission and the State Historic Preservation Office and many others who've assisted us over the last several years in trying to bring back this property, this renovation. Do you have the hotel up there? Oh, sorry. We're almost there.
What does it say? Compatible packed. Can I hook my computer up to this?
Sorry.
Actually, if it's okay with council, since only three of us and I need to take a quick break,
okay, sir,
for human reasons,
Appreciate it.
Why don't we take a 5-minute quick break?
Thank you.
We stand
much.
In recess for 5 minutes.
Thank you very much.
I'll let you get your technology.
Anything I can do to help you? Are you ready?
It's all up to this.
Good luck, John.
Yeah, thanks. I missed it.
It's not coming up, huh?
Well, it takes a while for this to boot up. It didn't, for some reason, their machine couldn't read the file on here. I figured it's funny because I brought this, thinking this would go down, but instead this didn't work. So. Gotcha. I just don't see how they see it.
She controls whether it goes on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Did you say it's not working?
It's trying to get it open here.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I couldn't tell from here. You're going to have the hotel picture up right there. That's the one I want. Thank you. The condemned.
Yeah.
Not that one.
Oh, you did.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the way it looks now.
All right.
Yep. Thank you.
So are you done?
Hmm?
Are you done with your part?
Yeah, thank you. Turn it over to you, Jay.
All right.
Will you reset the clock when we start?
Okay, okay.
I will. Thank you. It was a Homeland Security practice session. And so it was all predetermined and, you know, certain parts of it. But it so was they, a, there's a word for that. What do they call that? A training drill. Session.
Right.
Yeah, training
right.
Drill.
But they didn't actually go into the building?
No.
Okay.
Apparently they didn't tell the neighbors.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Is that in focus? I guess you have to be back a ways.
Yeah, maybe so.
Did we get it to work?
Yes.
Yeah, we're there. Thanks.
All right. Council's back in session. We don't have to call the roll, do we? You can see us. All right.
Lamont Smith, Vice President of TMT Development. The historic Hotel Cornelius is located at Southwest Park in Alder. It's owned by TMT Development and is a registered historic building that sits vacant and mostly condemned. It's a small site of 5,000 square feet in the park blocks in the heart of Portland's new Park Avenue Vision District. And as you can appreciate, not only the site size is challenging, but also with the historic designation, there are many constraints in terms of what we can do with the building. TMT, after studying several scenarios and business models over the last couple of years, is prepared to make an estimated $10 million renovation of this 100-year-old building. The new hotel will be called the Alder Park Hotel. It'll feature 66 nicely appointed guest rooms. It'll have new retail at the street level and two nicely appointed meeting rooms. In the entitlement process, we have been very pleased to receive either positive recommendations or approvals from, we received approval from the State Historic Preservation Office. We received a very positive recommendation for approval from the Landmarks staff. We received approval from the National Park Service. Today, we're appealing the Landmarks Commission decision that we must retain the 100-year-old existing windows. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Hiley of TVA Architecture to give you a brief summary on why this creates an aesthetic but a real serious acoustical issue and a potential economic hardship on such a project. And I would say to Commissioner Fish's question about any tax entitlements, there's certainly a historic designation or historic property they're eligible. As far as low interest loans, I'm not aware of. The only thing we've worked with is PDC on a seismic loan package, and I guess that would be considered a low-interest loan. John?
Thank you, Lamont. My name is John Hiley. I'm with TVA Architects, and I'd like to thank you all for your time today, too, to come and present this important issue to us. I'd like to begin by just saying that this project, as it relates to the exterior of the building, is primarily a historic preservation and renovation project. And by that, I mean we're not coming forward here proposing adding floor area or any significant remodel to the exterior of the building. Bless you. And as such, we've put together a team of experts and consultants in the area of historic preservation. Local architect Peter Meijer, who has over 25 years of experience in historic preservation, is on our team. He also was a recent member of the Landmarks Board. We've consulted from the get-go with representatives from the State Historic Preservation Office. They've been integral in helping us navigate the process through the federal level, through the National Park Service for buildings that are on the historic register. And as Lamont said, we're happy to report today that we have approval at both the state and the federal level for this project as proposed currently. We also worked diligently with manufacturers and industry experts with regard to the fabric on the exterior of the building, the sheet metal cornice, the wood windows, the brick facades, to get their expert opinions on how to proceed with the building. This is an image of what the building looks like today, and this is a rendering that our office has done of how we hope the building will look when we finish with the project. As you've heard, the issue before you today...
just interrupt for a second?
Certainly.
It's not showing up on my screen.
Or mine.
So do you need that? Okay.
Okay. One more time. Just let him do it one more time. Okay, one more time. Wait.
Okay. Yeah, it takes a little bit.
Okay.
Want to turn on one? That should do it. There. Oh. Is it showing up on your screen, though?
Just very near.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Are you getting any image at all?
No.
Is the image appearing up here?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's distorted, though.
Would it make sense for us to see it up here?
Okay, that's great.
Just
great alternative.
Move it along.
Can we get a couple of minutes back?
I stopped it.
Well, that's not a very good image up there, though. Maybe you can see
the
computer.
Well, if you sit back further, they can see it. So.
Well, it's also distorted, though.
Okay, we'll get the lights
okay.
We have a distorted view of the world. So
Okay, so, as I was saying, the issue as presented today it has to do with the design guideline, the city design guideline that states that, in general and where practical, the material should be preserved. We have discovered that we have a condition with this building, particularly with the windows on the Alder Street facade, these 20 windows that are considered a magnum window because of their size, where we have problems trying to meet the acoustic requirements for a business class hotel located in the central business core, as well as the thermal requirements for the current codes, and as we move forward with the hopes of achieving a LEED Silver a rating for this building under the USGBC rating system. As was explained to you, and I apologize for the imagery, but these are images of the existing conditions of the windows around the building. The survey was conducted by Peter Meijer Architects, our historic consultant. He surveyed all 84 windows on the Alder Street and Park Street facades, and those include the windows, 14 of the windows up on this ornate sheet metal mansard component on the top of the building. And what we found was that on these two elevations, all the windows on the mansard component will need to be replaced due to the extensive deterioration located up high on the building. And in this sheet metal mansard, they've seen significant weather damage over the years for lack of maintenance. The 20 Magnum windows on the Alder Street facade will need special attention. And then additionally, the remaining windows that will require some level of restoration because of certain components that will need to be fully replaced. So what we're talking about is basically 16 of the 84 windows that can be fully restored with the existing wood frames and glass components. So what we found, again, was that with these Magnum windows, as we began to look into ways that we might be able to restore the wood windows, with the Magnums, what you end up with is a sash component mm-hmm. with an insulated glazing unit that weighs over 60 pounds. So I know there were some comments about whether or not the window could still be operable, but the upper sash of this component would still weigh over 60 pounds, and it's something that just structurally the wood frame of that window could not support. And this is being taken in front of industry experts, locals as well as nationally, to give us feedback on how we might deal with these Magnum windows in order to meet the thermal and acoustic performances that we need to. It was also suggested that we would maybe look at doing some kind of an interior storm window. Unfortunately, you can't see it in this slide here, but we did talk to a number of manufacturers for these interior storms. And again, what we found was with the Magnum windows, that interior storm would end up being a bulky, costly component that would have to be broken into these three pieces, basically, one that allowed for the operability and one that allowed for the actual unit to be opened while one controlled the locking mechanism. This would have changed the historic appearance of the building because you would have seen this a storm window with its large wood frame members behind the original wood windows. So there were significant challenges that we were faced with, and all of these, again, in trying to deal with the acoustic performance of these windows, just finding that there wasn't a wood product on the market, whether it was one that we could restore these windows with or one that they could match, again, the profiles that would work for this project. That took us to the aluminum windows, where we found a manufacturer, Custom Window, who does this on a regular basis throughout the nation, working on many of the National Historic projects. We've worked with them very closely to develop a profile that matches our profiles on the hotel, even down to this ornate horn element, and would allow us to have the thermal performance with an insulated unit and also giving us the acoustic levels that we need for this project. And so it was our feeling that this was kind of the best solution to move forward for these windows that occur on the second level through the top of the building. It would be something that from street level really isn't something that you would even be noticeable, whether it was an aluminum product or a wood product, and would satisfy all the means and requirements for this building, provide us with a low maintenance product, something that's a sustainable solution, and would, again, as I said, respond to the acoustic and thermal performances required for restoring this unique building in the Park Blocks area.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Can you just summarize for me again the number and the location of the windows that you want to refurbish, the wood windows you want to keep and refurbish versus the windows that you want to replace with the new material?
We are actually proposing the replacement of all the windows so
all
that we have a consistent look across the entire building, because if we If we end up replacing just some of them with the aluminum products, then in order to meet the thermal requirements and the acoustic requirements, we would still have to go in behind the historic wood windows with this bulky storm window.
And how would I'm going to let you finish, sorry. Why don't you go ahead and finish, and I'll ask.
I wasn't going to say that's.
Oh, is it? So what would you say to the previous builders who sought to, you know, not have to refurbish existing windows that the city is referenced by Mr. DeMuro and staff report? Why would we say yes to you when we've said no to previous councils have said no to previous requests?
Well, I think the point was made earlier that this really needs to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. And with this building, we have this unique condition with the oversized Magnum windows. And if those were not an issue on this building, likely we could go out and find some wood windows and replace and restore the wood windows. The other issue is the use of the building as a hotel in the central business core. There are certain acoustical requirements that need to be met in order to perform. These are going to be business class rooms. So I know some of the projects that were referenced in that letter, they may not have been, you know, to this use, or they may not have been to this level of a type of a hotel.
Sage is going for what, 5-star?
Pardon me?
Sage, the developer of the
Nines.
The Nines is going for 5-star, so I assume that's an analogous. I don't know if they have Magnum size windows.
Exactly. I'm not sure what size their windows are.
And I know the Fifth Avenue Suites, which is now called something else, the Monaco or something, has also dealt with this issue. Are you familiar with either of those projects as it relates to this issue?
I'm familiar with the projects. I wasn't familiar with whether or not they had switched their windows out to aluminum or wood windows.
I have consulted with Hoffman Construction, specifically on the Nines, and those windows were not, very few were even close to the deterioration that we're looking at here. I would also like to point out from a hotel standpoint that, the acoustics are so important to be able to deliver a quiet night's stay. And they start on the 8th or 9th level, above the traffic and all that goes on. So that's, I think, our primary concern. One of our primary concerns is being able to meet the guest expectations in an urban small hotel. So,
other questions from council?
So the windows that you would propose installing to replace the wood windows offer some sound reduction that the wood windows do not or cannot?
Absolutely. They're outfitted with a double paned insulated glazing unit, so they've got a they've got an overall half inch airspace between two quarter inch panes of glass. And the difference in STC, which is the sound transmission coefficient, the information that we get is that for the old wood windows, you're probably looking at an STC rating of probably around 21 to 25. And for the new windows, we'll have an STC rating of up in the neighborhood of 33 to 35.
So what does that mean in terms? Explain what that means to me in terms of blocking sound.
It basically means the difference of being able to hear the street traffic, the street noise at a very audible level, as opposed to hearing it at a much more muffled level, what you would typically experience when you go to stay in a hotel.
And the windows that you propose installing, it sounds like from even the staff's description, are by all observation the same as the wood windows.
Yes.
Do they also offer a higher energy rating, the ones you propose to install? Do they offer some energy efficiency that the wood windows would not?
Correct. They're a thermally broken frame, aluminum sash window, which means that there's no connection between the interior frame and the exterior frame for heat transmission. And then on top of that, you've got the double pane with the airspace in between, which provides thermal insulation.
Can you give an idea of what that means in terms of energy consumption a comparison?
Well, I can only, I guess maybe the best way to kind of quantify it is that, as I said, we're going after the LEED silver rating on this building, and as such, the windows are contributing to us saving, trying to get to a point where we're saving upwards of 20% of the energy over a base building that would, say, have just similar wood windows with single pane.
So 20% saving in the energy use compared to the building without any upgraded insulation features?
Correct.
And so of that 20% increase in efficiency, how much do you attribute to the windows?
It's hard to say because they really calculate it as an overall, your overall wall system. A major component of our exterior wall system are these windows. So I would, you know, just, I mean, if we were to take a ratio, we're probably 60% of this elevation are the windows themselves.
So do our historic, I guess this is a question for staff, do our historic guidelines at all take into account energy issues in terms of energy consumption? Yeah.
Did, yeah.
David Skilton, BDS, they don't, Commissioner, they don't take energy into account.
So there's some conflict maybe with some of what we try to achieve in historic restoration and our other broader energy saving goals?
Yes, I'd say there's conflicting values here.
Let me just express the one of the challenges I'm having in reviewing this appeal. We're talking a lot about acoustics and acoustic dampening, and we're talking about energy efficiency. But we're talking about it, to pick up on what Commissioner Leonard said, in the context of restoring a building which is on the historic register. So we've made a commitment, the owner has made a commitment, to operate within a set of guidelines that put a premium on maintaining the historic features and characteristics of the building. I suspect that with the advance of technology in almost every one of these appeals in the future, someone could make a compelling argument that there could be sound enhancements and energy enhancements of shifting from a historically sensitive material to some other material. Today it's from wood to aluminum. Tomorrow could be aluminum to something else. You know, I appreciate very much TMT's role in making an investment in restoring this building, but I need some help in drawing that line, because you're talking about, you know, sort of improve enhancements in acoustics and enhancements in energy in the context of a code which puts a premium on restoring the historic integrity of a building.
Well, I guess I would offer that, as we've stated, we've worked closely with the State Historic Preservation Office and the National Park Service that regulates restoration of the buildings on the historic register. And to date, we have approvals from both those agencies to move forward with this proposal.
Based on these windows?
Correct.
That you're proposing?
Yes. Correct.
I would like to say that I believe that we have acted responsibly in trying to meet the historic guidelines and bring this building back to life. It sits now vacant and condemned, and these windows, the replicated windows, we've worked so hard to match those profiles that I think it is a responsible action.
I want to be clear. I think it's more than responsible. Okay. I mean, I'm not calling the question that. I'm trying to reconcile a point my colleague has made between one set of code requirements and another set of code requirements and how we reconcile them.
Okay.
And I'm not at all questioning
I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but it's certainly the topical time to address that from my perspective. I would not agree, for an example, to a replacement window in this case that met all of the most modern technical advances that we have in energy consumption and the various things that windows may accomplish for us in terms of energy savings if they did not have the appearance and texture and replicated precisely what it was that attributed the historic quality of the feature we were debating. So in my view, this isn't an either-or choice. It has to be one where a choice complements the other. If we can achieve both goals at once, I don't see as one necessarily precluding the other. by having to decide whether or not we'd accept the more advanced feature, as long as the advanced features have the appearance, intrinsic qualities that the historic window had that it's replacing.
So I wanted to ask the comparative question to see if staff has an answer in terms of the Monaco, Hotel Monaco, the Nines. Are those considered Magnum windows? And
I'm sorry, Commissioner, I don't have that information.
I don't know about the Monaco and the Nines. Again, I did do some research on the Nines, and I didn't hear anything on a Magnum, but pretty much the same time period or fairly close, so it's possible. But, okay. They painted them shut. They're not operable, so.
Okay. These are going to be operable?
Yes.
I just wanted to ask, you talked about the interior storm windows as being aesthetically out of place, but is it the intention of the hotel to have the windows operable, whether they are the restored wooden windows or the metal? Is it your intention to have them so that they can be opened and closed by the resident, or are they going to be fixed in a closed position?
The intention is that they are operable, and in fact, we are using that as our makeup air for our HVAC system for the building.
So help me understand that. If the intent is to have operable windows so that I, as a guest, can open and close my windows, why should I be so concerned about the acoustic dampening effects of shifting to these other replacement windows?
Because it's your choice to open the window or close it. And so if you're comfortable with the vehicle noise or the trash trucks in the morning or whatever, that's your choice. But
or the sweet smell of downtown ambiance.
Absolutely.
Nothing like the smell of
Trimet. I would hope that you
would
include that in the various things one might smell in downtown Portland.
What are you going to do if this was grand and you replace all these old windows? What are you going to do with the old windows?
Well, as a lead project, we'll probably be having them recycled in some fashion or another.
So you'd be giving them to an organization that could put them in other projects?
Potentially. They could go to the rebuilding center or any of those facilities.
And conversely, if we were to deny the appeal, is this a deal killer in terms of you going forward with this project?
It is.
Why is it
a deal killer?
I can't the risk, putting this kind of money at risk when we can't deliver a fundamental expectation of an overnight guest for a quiet night stay is too risky.
Is there a difference in, so it's not a difference in price, it's a difference in end product from your point of view?
Correct.
What is the difference in price?
The wood window restoration and the aluminum windows are basically equal. The cost of adding the interior storms is a third as much of the overall cost.
And does that include the old windows being disassembled in a way that they can be reused on the ones that are functional and by other people? Future projects, other projects? Or does that just trashing them?
No, that would be factored into a different part of the project in terms of the demolition and recycling. So this is just apples for apples, going and restoring the wood windows versus buying new aluminum windows.
And there's no one in the room that knows has any sort of historical comparison on this to these other projects downtown? Jeff, you do?
I believe in scale they are comparable, but the projects aren't comparable because in those other cases, while the windows were restored, there weren't any that, as was discussed, had experienced the same level of deterioration that required true replication and replacement. And that's where the Magnum issue comes in, is whether or not you can find a manufacturer that will provide a replicated wooden sash of that scale operable that can meet the structural wind loading characteristics that are required for such windows.
And you've seen a mock-up or a sample of what they're proposing?
No, simply the drawings that have been provided.
Has anyone seen?
I guess we may have had a section.
The First Landmarks Committee.